Blog Talk Radio.
And how to do it right.
That's something to consider as well that I wanted to talk about, because when you have a number of players turned over, you have a new general manager, you have a new coaching staff and a new system and structure, even if you practice nonstop every day through training camp and try to squeeze in as many practices as you can through the season, there is a period of adjustment, and it takes an awful long time to do things without thinking about them. And that's a bigger hurdle for some players to get over than others.
It is. And, you know, I think at some point, you know, maybe sometimes these guys just, they push the button where they just said, you know what, forget it. We're just going to do things. We're going to just, you know, forget, you know, the mechanics and, you know, the proper way of, you know, handling a puck and doing this, that, and the other thing, and saying, you know, forget it. We're just going to do what the coach says we should be doing and jump into the play the way that we should, and maybe react a little bit more instinctually on how to do things. And I think there's been a part of that to how they've played too. Now, mind you, the play of Jack Eichel's had a lot to do with that too, because he's been on another planet here the last few weeks. And I think that's another part to what's helped them succeed, is that, you know, Jack's played great, and it's the pressure it's taken off guys down the line. I think that's really helped out as well.
Joe Yurden is with us, covers the Buffalo Sabres for NHL.com. At Joe Yurden is how you follow him on Twitter. It seems like Jack has been kind of channeling that passion that we have seen on display a few times from him, where he's said something and been aggravated and frustrated at his team, like being sick of losing, but he seems to be channeling it all into his play on the ice now. We're the beneficiaries, because we get to watch him out there.
Yeah. And I, you know, when Jack's going like this, and we saw we saw this for a good stretch last season too, where when he's going, There are very few players that are exciting to watch. I mean, I look at, you know, some of the moves he was able to pull off in some of these games, and, you know, just the puck handling and the ability to get shots off and to make a move in tight, where, you know, he's got a defender right in front of him and he's able to make them disappear like they're not even there. And he's able to just wheel around and make something happen. I mean, that kind of stuff is exactly what, you know, everybody wants to see from him all the time. And you know, just sometimes, you know, maybe it's a mental hurdle, maybe it's this, that, or the other thing. But, you know, when he's going like this, I mean, it makes the Sabres so much better. And it makes them more fun to watch. And it makes them a much more dangerous team. And I think the teams out west got a full dose of that, you know, this past week, because, you know, when Jack's rolling that way, and, you know, his teammates just go right along with it, and it's not like they're waiting for him to make the moves. It's just when he's doing things like that, it just opens up so much space, because the other defenders on the ice, you know, one, two, or three other guys are going to say, uh-oh, we all got to watch him. And when he's got that ability to get free and find room, everybody else is going to cash in because of that.
You mentioned that there was some improved play, some of the others out on when the Sabres were on their Western Canadian swing as well. Evander Kane's been good. Rasmus Ristolainen is another one who recently has started to get more of the right kind of attention from me in terms of his improved play.
Yeah, and you know what? You know what's helped out there? It's he hasn't had to play those 30-31 minute games. You know, when you're able to roll three D pairs, and, you know, Rasmus is going to play a lot of that time too. You know, he and Scandella are going to play at least 25 minutes a night, but instead of having to put him out there for 28, 29, 30 minutes a night, you know, I look at that Vancouver game. I think he only played about 26 and a half minutes, and, you know, comparatively speaking, that's a pretty light night. And, you know, to me, that says that everybody else is doing their job, but really speaks to how well Scandella and Ristolainen have doubled down on what they're supposed to do, because they, on the road, you know, you're trying, they're trying to give them the hard assignments. You know, you don't get that last game, so you have to try to make him, make those guys work a little bit more. But, you know, I think with the way he's played, he's been steady, he's been solid, and he's been such a physical element out there as well. I mean, I think when they picked up Marco Scandella this year, a lot of people figured he was going to be the heavy guy out there, but I think Ristolainen's been a definitive physical player and a lot nastier of a player too. And I think that favors Need a little bit. Getting it from one of your top guys, that says a lot.
Now, the other thing with the Buffalo Sabres is, until we get past the trade deadline, the names of everyone on the roster, except for Eichel, and you and I have talked about this earlier, that except for Eichel, the office is open for business. I'm just not sure how busy Jason Botterill is going to be moving up to the trade deadline. Evander Kane seems to be a given, but I'm not sure how much more business is going to get done with the Sabres.
Well, I don't know how much more business they're going to do, because I think a lot of the other guys that could be traded are guys that are sort of role player plug-in depth help. But the one guy who may have helped make a case for himself is Robin Lehner. I mean, he's working on two straight shutouts. I mean, he was the guy who kind of took the brunt of that 7-1 loss in Dallas. But, you know, Leonard's looked outstanding against Edmonton, against Vancouver. He looked great in both of those games. And, you know, if you're looking for a guy who could be a surprise person to get traded, I don't know how much of a surprise it would be. I mean, he his contract's up. He's an RFA again, you know, for this year. And there's some teams out there that could use some goaltending help. And Leonard is certainly a guy that could be a marked upgrade, especially when he's playing like this. But, you know, if you're looking for somebody who's going to be maybe kind of a wild card in this whole thing, I mean, it really depends on what Jason Botterill wants to do. If he decides that, you know, Leonard's going to be his guy for the future, like, okay, well, you ain't going to trade him. But then you've got Linus Ullmark in Rochester, who's been playing outstanding and maybe kind of pining a little bit, saying, you know, if we move Robin, we're going full on for Linus. But this is going to be a very interesting situation to watch as the trade line comes up, because Leonard is definitely a guy who could be traded for a pretty good price.
Going to be interesting to watch over the next few weeks until we get to the deadline. Joe Yurden covering the Buffalo Sabres for NHL.com. At Joe Yurden is how you follow him on Twitter. Good stuff today, Joe. Appreciate it as always. We'll talk again soon.
Hey, you got it, Todd. Take care.
All right, Joe Yurden from NHL.com. Jack Eichel, the member of the Buffalo Sabres, who is here in Tampa for NHL All-Star Weekend. It is the skills competition coming up later on this evening. The 3-on-3 tournament takes place tomorrow. That's just part of what's going on in the city. It is an enormous celebration that is getting underway now in the downtown with the Gasparilla Pirate Festival. Hundreds of thousands dressed up as pirates. There's boats, there's a parade. Stanley Cup is here and participating in the parade. There is so much going on, and it is all encompassing in terms of downtown Tampa right now, all centered around Amalie Arena, where the skills competition will take place. Hundreds of thousands celebrating, as mentioned. There's, you know, the odd cocktail is probably being consumed as well too, but that's just made for part of the atmosphere. Another great All-Star weekend. Weather's fantastic. It's all good stuff right now that's happening. Lots to get into today. I mentioned we have a loaded program. Jesse Granger will join us later on. We'll talk Vegas Golden Knights. Stephen Wino from the Associated Press coming up. All things NHL. Our friend Sean McIndoe with the latest on the National Hockey League. And Sean Gentile coming up in our next segment from the Sports News and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Don't look now, but those Pittsburgh Penguins are climbing in the standings. We'll get the latest on that and much more. At Hockey Unfiltered, at Todd Lewis Sports, the Twitter and Instagram handles. Tweet us, send us via Instagram your photos for your Dog of the Day nomination. Use the hashtag #HUDogOfTheDay. Tell us your name, your dog's name, and why that dog is special. We like to recognize great dogs, and we do it every Saturday. Their photo goes up on our website, in the gallery, and on our Facebook page as well. Hockey Unfiltered with Todd Lewis, live from NHL All-Star Weekend in Tampa, back after the break. So you had to get groceries, take your daughter to dance class, and a pipe burst in the kitchen. You missed Hockey Unfiltered with Todd Lewis. Problem?
All of our shows are available as a podcast right after the show airs, so you can listen when life gets in the way of hearing us live. Subscribe through iTunes and get alerts as soon as the podcast is available. Or go to our website, hockeyunfiltered.com, and listen. Plus, check out the other cool stuff, the Hockey Unfiltered with Todd Lewis podcast. Subscribe now through iTunes. Get your business started getting more leads. 1-844-SEO-LEAD. The number to call if you want more online leads for your business is 1-844-SEO-LEAD. Search engine optimization can be the difference between success and failure. It's no coincidence which businesses are listed first in Google searches. Call 1-844-SEO-LEAD. Hockey Unfiltered with Todd Lewis sends you to the biggest events at the best prices. This year, we've partnered with SeatGiant to give you special deals on tickets to NHL games, concerts, or other events. Simply go to SeatGiant.com, find the tickets you want. When you check out, use the promo code TODD for a special discount. That's promo code T-O-D-D for a special discount. Start saving with SeatGiant.com on your next purchase. Nova Product Design is designed for manufacturing. Nova Product Design can get the job done with mechanical and industrial design. Nova Product Design is also fully functional for laser cutting, water jet cutting, plating, coatings, and more. Nova Product Design, innovative design, and the latest technologies. Nova Product Design can design, build, and test any required types of prototypes and beta units. Visit NovaProductDesign.com. We're looking for your Hockey Unfiltered Dog of the Day nominations every Saturday. Now you can send them through Instagram. Use the hashtag HUDogOfTheDay. Send us a photo of your dog on Twitter or Instagram to nominate them as the HU Dog of the Day. Include your name, the dog's name, and any other cool details you want. We choose a winner and add them to the Dog of the Day gallery on our website and Facebook page. It's the Hockey Unfiltered Dog of the Day every Saturday. Hashtag HU Dog of the Day.
Hockey Unfiltered with Todd Lewis. It's the Saturday edition. We're here every Saturday and Sunday, 11 Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Powered by Time Radio. We're live at HockeyUnfiltered.com and streaming live on the Hockey Unfiltered app, at Hockey Unfiltered, at Todd Lewis Sports, the Twitter and Instagram handles to follow us. Hashtag Dog of the Day to nominate your dog for the Hockey Unfiltered with Todd Lewis Dog of the Day. Something we do every Saturday, recognizing great dogs. We like to recognize them. Tweet us the photo, send it on Instagram, send it along to us with the hashtag HU Dog of the Day, and we'll choose a winner. Every Saturday, we like to recognize great dogs. Tell us your name. There's a story that goes along with how you two came together. Then we like that as well. It's a busy program loaded up with guests today. Sean Gentile scheduled to join us momentarily with the latest on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Oh, those Pittsburgh Penguins. Everybody was so worried early on in the season. What's going on? What's happening with the Pittsburgh Penguins? Did they play too much hockey? They won back-to-back Stanley Cups. They had to turn over so much of the roster. Marc-Andre Fleury's not there now to help out with Matt Murray. Kind of look at where the Penguins are in the standings now. Slowly making their way up, slowly moving in the right direction. We flipped over into a new year. We're into the second half of the season. I wasn't all that worried about the Pittsburgh Penguins. Things seem to be working out okay. Sean Gentile covers the Pittsburgh Penguins for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You can also check him out in Sporting News. Follow him on Twitter, at Sean Gentile. That's with two L's, and he joins us now. Sean, I just mentioned that I wasn't one of the ones that was super worried about the Pittsburgh Penguins. I thought they'd be okay. And as soon as we're into the second half of the season now, their schedule lightens up a little bit, gets a little more team-friendly. Look at that. They've won 8 of 11 in 2018.
Yeah, it's crazy how many people you can jump when you win 8 out of 11 games. I think my main concern for them was that, you know, if there was a concern, it was that the teams ahead of them weren't going to lose enough games. And like lo and behold, the Hurricanes came back to life, or came back to earth. The Islanders came back to earth. You know, the Rangers seem like they're looking to sell now. So. Yeah, it's easy to make up ground when you win games, but it's also easier to make up ground when the teams around you lose and, you know, in those same circumstances.
Yeah, and I guess that's the other part of it, too. I mean, we thought, okay, Carolina, we expected them to be better, and they have been better this year. But they've just kind of been Carolina as well. The Islanders sucked a little early, but they because they score a lot of goals, but they couldn't keep the puck out of their net. And the Rangers, they were cold, they were hot, and then they're cold again. And it just seems like the competition is settling into where we kind of expected everyone to be.
Right, absolutely. And I mean, so much of the issues that the Penguins were having were really luck based. You know, their shooting percentage was really low. The schedule, like you mentioned earlier, really broke kind of badly for them. So I always kind of anticipated that they had a run like this in them. To me, the issue was always going to be, you know, if they were a little bit too far behind. But man, it's definitely they managed to hit the reset button pretty quickly. You know, we're not even out of January yet, and it seems like they were able to walk back whatever damage they did to themselves, particularly in December. So yeah, it's been interesting to watch.
And they've kind of had some injuries through their lineup as well, which was probably contributing with Brian Rust, who misses a little bit of time. Malkin misses a game here and a few others as well. You have Matt Murray, who misses a few games for personal reasons, plus some injuries. So it's just kind of getting the lineup settled and a little more orderly as well.
Oh, absolutely. The injuries on a lot of levels have been pretty constant for them. And the guy also he's been healthy, but Letang played brutal hockey for the first 3 months of the season, and he's looked more like himself here, you know, over the last couple of weeks, and that's really important, because Chris Letang, when he's healthy and playing the right way, I mean, he's a Norris Trophy finalist caliber guy. I mean, I really do believe that. So, you know, whether it was him rounding in shape after the neck injury or whatever it was, you know, basically Chris Letang was playing brutal hockey at various points throughout the season. And now you have him looking more like himself. You have Justin Schultz, who's managed to stay in the lineup. You know, he's dealing with a concussion and some other stuff there in the fall. You know, they're rounding into shape at the right time, you know, and I think that's a really, really important thing for sure.
And we're also seeing the Pittsburgh Penguins recipe again coming up as well, with young players who get called up, put into the lineup, and find themselves having an impact and contributing, whether it's JSD, who came up and he scored his first goal. Dominic Simone has also been making himself known out on the ice. But it's they find young players, they play them in Wilkes-Barre, then they bring them up, and they find a way to make an impact in this lineup.
Yeah, Simone's been really interesting too. I mean, it was funny, really, from the jump, really right after they recalled him the first time, their aim was always to play him on the Crosby line. I think his second game in the lineup, I believe it was, he was on Crosby's wing, which is really, really interesting. And that's something that we've taught you mentioned that we've seen it work in the past with Crosby, where, you know, you pair him with a guy like Connor Sherry. You pair him with a young, you know, fast player who doesn't overthink things. I think that works in a lot of ways, and we've seen that to a pretty serious extent with Simone. I think he's gotten better, particularly in the last four or five games. Absolutely.
Sean Gentile is with us, covers the Pittsburgh Penguins for the Post-Gazette, also contributor to Sporting News. At Sean Gentile is how you follow him on Twitter. And with in terms of the goaltending question, Tristan Jarry came up, and I think he helped kind of solidify things after the Antti-Niemi experiment went bad. But Casey DeSmith has also been called up and played really well at times for Pittsburgh when he's been thrown in.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you've seen the work he's done over the last week. I mean, he's granted they, you know, you have Matt Murray, who is missing time because of the death of his father, you know, but they really chose to play DeSmith over Jarry, down that stretch there. And he's been good. He's been good in the NHL, and he was in. He actually had to pull out of the AHL All-Star game because of the success he had here over the last week or so. But yeah, he's someone who they needed, you know. And it is funny, you know. You mentioned Miami, you know, that a team that started the year with in such a bad place with a backup situation. Yeah, it seems like pretty viable options right now. If nothing else, those guys have helped them weather a pretty serious storm. Not just with Murray's, you know, Murray missing a few games here because of his dad, but when he was hurt earlier. I mean, Tristan Jarry came in and was really, really good. And I think they needed it from those guys. Things could have sunk really on them if those guys weren't as good as they have been.
Do you expect Jim Rutherford to make an adjustment, make an acquisition to supplement the lineup at some point before the trade deadline? Is there an area that you would see that would get attention? Usually everybody's looking for a little bit of depth on defense for sure. Is there anything else besides that?
It still feels like he's going to try to go out and get another center. I mean, like Jake Gensel has been good and you know, he's removed really from a top six winger to, you know, the third line center role there. It's been interesting. If he played it in college, he's gotten progressively better in that spot. But it does still feel like, you know, if it's possible for them to swing that deal for if not a fourth and certainly a third line center, I do think they need another option there. And Rutherford has said multiple times in pretty recently that he's still looking. It's just a matter of finding something that makes sense.
Just before I let you go, too, I got to ask, because I don't think he's getting enough recognition and enough credit for the kind of season he's having. Is Phil Kessel, who's leading the Pittsburgh Penguins in points with 21 goals and the total of 58 points, he's up near the top in the overall scoring in the National Hockey League, but he's just kind of doing it the Phil Kessel way, too. Low-key, doesn't make a lot of noise, but he's just every time he plays.
Absolutely, man. That power play is really, really fun to watch right now, and that's, you know, in no small part because of Kessel. Like if they end up pulling this off and really write the ship for, you know, the long term here, we're going to look back on the stretch of games in December and in the first part of January where, you know, really the only thing that was working for them was the power play. That was it. 5-on-5, they were unlucky and or bad, right? But they were afloat because of the power play. And they were really afloat because of Kessel's performance there. So yeah, it's been a really good season from him, and they've needed it desperately for sure.
The other thing that I wanted to mention and ask you about is with the rest of the men mentioned earlier that some of the teams had come back to earth and fallen off, and the hot story over the last 48 hours or so has been the Rangers will consider blowing it up. Now everybody's down. Mission of blowing is different. Do you see a big transformation in the Rangers leading to the deadline and perhaps through the summer?
And man, that's the $1 million question, right? They have a lot of pieces that a lot of teams would want. I think it's something they should definitely think about. And I've thought that of them for the last couple of years, really. I mean, like their salary structure is not where you'd like to see, right? Those guys are getting older, and you can I don't think they're an elite team anymore. So yeah, I think it makes all the sense in the world for them to you know, to potentially blow it up here down the road for sure.
Good stuff as always from Sean Gentile from Sporting News and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette at Sean Gentile is how you should be following him on Twitter. Appreciate it, John. We'll talk again soon.
No, Todd, anytime, man. I'll talk to you next time.
Great. Appreciate it. Sean Gentile covering the Pittsburgh Penguins and the National Hockey League, focusing on the Metro. That's 8-3 since January, just past the middle of the season. Players starting to get healthy. A couple of young players coming up and contributing, getting in the lineup is the Pittsburgh Penguins recipe. I'm a little surprised it didn't work out for Daniel Sprong, who only managed a couple of goals in 8 games, but I would view that as only a temporary setback. He'll go back to Wilkes-Barre. He'll come back and succeed at perhaps next time. It's happened with a few other players. Jake Gensel went back and forth once or twice. managed to solidify a nice spot in the Pittsburgh Penguins lineup for himself. I don't like where Pittsburgh's going. Just kind of moving in the right direction. At Hawk Unfiltered, at Todd Lewis Sports Twitter and Instagram handles. Hashtag is HU Dog of the Day to send us your nomination. Send us a photo of your dog, your name, the dog's name, story of how you two together. We select a great dog of the day every Saturday to recognize great. The photo goes up on our website and in our Facebook gallery. Lots to come on this special edition from an NHL All-Star Weekend in Tampa. Dame Mizzitini will join us. That and more, all straight ahead.
Hockey Unfiltered with Todd Lewis sends you to the biggest events at the best prices. This year, we partnered with Seat Giant to give you special deals on tickets to NHL games, concerts, or other events. Simply go to SeatGiant.com, find the tickets you want. When you check out, use the promo code Todd for a special discount. That's promo code T-O-D-D for a special discount. Start saving with SeatGiant.com on your next purchase. Look, we know it happens. Life gets in the way, and sometimes you can't catch the live edition of Hockey Unfiltered with Todd Lewis. But we've made it easy for you to catch up on the show you might have missed. Hockey Unfiltered with Todd Lewis is available as a podcast on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Blog Talk Radio. You don't want to miss an episode. If you miss the live show, check out the podcast. Don't miss any shows. There's a test coming up later. Subscribe now. Get your business started getting more leads. 1-844-SEO-LEAD. The number to call if you want more online leads for your business is 1-844-SEO-LEAD. Search engine optimization can be the difference between success and failure. It's no coincidence which businesses are listed first in Google searches. Call 1-844-SEO-LEAD. Use the code GETTHESAVINGS. Hockey Unfiltered with Todd Lewis listeners save with Seat Giant and the promo code Todd. That's T-O-D-D at SeatGiant.com. Just log on to SeatGiant.com to find the best tickets to NHL games, concerts, or whatever you want, and save. Use the promo code Todd. That's T-O-D-D when you check out, and you save. Canadian listeners can save at SeatGiant.ca. That's SeatGiant.com and .ca. Cutting-edge design for manufacturing. Nova Product Design. Industrial design, mechanical engineering and design. Nova Product Design provides experienced design for parts and assemblies, manufacturing, assembly, and serviceability. From plastic parts to sheet metal forming, mold and tool design, injection molding, and more. Nova Product Design. Visit NovaProductDesign.com to learn more.
Welcome back. This is Hockey Unfiltered. It's the Saturday edition here every Saturday and Sunday, 11 Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific at Hockey Unfiltered at Top Sports Twitter and Instagram handles to follow us. Looking for your Dog of the Day nominations as we do every Saturday. Send them to us via Instagram, via Twitter. Just tweet us the photo, your name, your dog's name. If there's a good story that goes along with it as well, we like to recognize great dog. Busy show as we are live from Tampa Bay for NHL All-Star Weekend. Jesse Granger will join us a little bit later on in the program. Have the latest on the Vegas Golden Knights, who are all the talk of the National Hockey League. Is this real? Can they keep going? How far can they go? Are they a legitimate playoff team? Sure. Can they go deep in the playoffs? Are we going to see them in the Western Conference Final? Can they play for the Stanley? I don't know if we're quite ready to answer all those questions yet, but certainly a lot of topics that we can discuss as well. Allison Lucan covers the Columbus Blue Jackets for the Athletic in Cleveland, and she will join us. I'm a little curious about the Columbus Blue Jackets. A lot of questions. They're just kind of proceeding along and doing their thing. Stephen Wino will be with us as well in hour number two. Sean McAdoo has done a nice piece about the Olympics coming up. We'll talk about that as well as an NHL All-Star. There's been a whole bunch of talk about goaltender interference over the last few days. There have been some calls. There have been some comments from outspoken coaches, we'll say, who have disagreed with the call. Surprise, surprise, when a call went against them, all went against them and they disagreed with them. Who surprised at that? Not me. Oh, well, I'm going to save my thoughts on the goaltender interference until we get towards the end of the program, because there's a lot of different layers to it and stuff. So we'll get into that. Happy to welcome back to the program from the Pioneer Press covering the Minnesota Wild. You can follow him on Twitter at Dane Mizutani. Dane joins us now. Dane, I got to ask about the Minnesota Wild, and it just seems like this is two different teams so often. The team that we see at home at the XL Energy Center, and then we see the team that plays out on the road and looks completely different.
Yeah, Todd, you got that right. It's crazy. I mean, they can look so good when they're playing in St. Paul, and then you look at a game like the other night in Pittsburgh. They just got wiped off the floor in the first two periods. And I know they made it finished 6-3, but the Penguins stopped playing in that third period, and rightfully so. I mean, they had built a 6-goal cushion at that point. So there's no moral victory in cutting it to a 6-3 loss. I mean, they got destroyed in every facet of the game. And that's been a recurring problem, like you mentioned. I mean, the Wild, when they get on the road, just seem to play like a different team. And we've asked Coach Bruce Boudreau time and time again, you know, what is the problem? Why is this happening? And he doesn't have an answer. The players don't have an answer. It's just something that they need to figure out. Maybe they can't answer it with words, figure out what's going on, because you look at the West right now, it's so gridlocked towards the bottom. And the Wild aren't catching any teams in the Central, but they're going to need to be a better team on the road if they want any chance of making the playoffs. Because if you play so well at home and then you just give games away on the road, you're just not going to make up enough ground to kind of lock yourself into one of those final two wild card spots. So something that needs to change. Maybe the All-Star comes at a good time for them, just so they can kind of regroup after just getting destroyed. But we'll see. They need to figure it out. Only, you know, 30-something games left, so not much time to go.
And that's the difficult part, is that we're about two-thirds of the way through the season now, and just think Minnesota's got it going. It's nope. Then they'll, whether it's on the road or at home, they'll lose a game or a couple of games. And because of that competitive central, oh, you've got Colorado that you got. I'm not sure that Chicago's making it, but you're going to hear from them before the end of the season. So that's another team that you're getting some pressure from behind at this point. And then Dallas, too. I think everybody expected them to be better, but I don't think everybody expected everyone in the center.
For sure, and you looked at the game before the Pittsburgh Penguins game. The Wild were on a season-high six-game point streak and really didn't make up much ground, because Colorado won 10 games in a row. Anaheim got, you know, a little hot there, hot and cold. And then there's L.A. there, too, and you mentioned Chicago. I mean, they're still 5-something points back, but I think everyone is expecting the Blackhawks to make some sort of a run at some point, at least make things interesting. I mean, this is the Chicago Blackhawks we're talking about. They can look so bad, and in one game they can flip the switch. We've seen it in the past. So they're not done yet. So it's crazy. I mean, you look at it, it's almost like you can't lose, because if you lose, so many other teams are winning that you start to lose ground like that. And it kind of stinks from the Wild's perspective, where they played so good for a couple of weeks, and they really didn't build any ground because everyone else is playing really well too. So it sounds cliche, but it's like a playoff atmosphere right now. And you know, we would ask Coach Bruce Boudreau about it. You know, are you worried that your team is going to get burned out, because every game holds a lot of significance? And he said, I can't worry about that. You know, because they're so important, we just got to go as hard as we can until we can't go anymore. So we'll see what happens. I mean, it's going to be interesting for sure. It's going to come down to the wire, no doubt about that.
And it's just looking over the statistics. There's things that puzzle me as to why they happen. We know the big giant slump that Mikko Koivu went through before he snapped out, but he still only got 6 goals on the season. Charlie Coyle is the other one that sticks out to me. I keep expecting more from him, and based on what we've seen previously, but he's only got 4 goals this season, and those are two of the biggest surprises.
Yeah, Mikko's been a frustrating one for I think everyone who watches the Wild, just because all the things he does, you just need him to start scoring too. I mean, but then you look at a guy like Charlie Coyle. I mean, Mikko Koivu, Bruce Boudreau at least feels comfortable throwing him against the other team's top line, and I guess if you're wearing kind of rose-colored sunglasses. You can find positives in Mikko Koivu's game, even if he's not scoring. I mean, he's out there against the top line. He's taking the important draws, playing those important minutes. Then you look at a guy like Charlie Coyle, who's been a guy that a lot of people have been waiting for him to kind of, you've seen flashes, but to harness all that ability that you know he's got and do something with it. And this season, I know, I mean, he broke his leg early on, and that obviously was hard for him to come back from, but he just hasn't been the same person this season. He hasn't really taken that extra leap that I think people expected him to take. Just the inconsistencies in his game are kind of, you know, what we've seen in the past. So, again, there's 30 more games. Maybe he turns it on, but you mentioned Koivu and Coyle. Those are two guys that are going to need to play a lot better if the Wild want to make the playoffs.
He's been back now for 10 games after missing the start of the season with that surgery. How is Zach Parise looking to you?
He's looked a little better. I think that was something where a lot of people thought, you know, Zach was going to come right back and everything was going to be fine. But it was always going to take some time with Zach. Just, you know, he hadn't really touched pucks in a live game action in 8-something months when he was coming back. So regardless of how good his conditioning was, and it was good when he came back, just everything that comes with the other layers of the game, it was going to take some time. So it's not necessarily surprising that it took some time for him to get there, but you're starting to see him do the things that made him such a special player earlier in his career. And now I don't know if he's going to push for 15, 20 goals. I mean, he doesn't seem to be that type of dynamic scoring anymore, but he just deepens the entire lineup and he does the little things that you really need out of one of the leaders on your team. So I don't think Zach is kind of the least of the Wild's concerns right now, because I think he's starting to play like everyone knows he's been able to play, and that's a good sign for them moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I let's try and end on some positives, though. The Minnesota Wild, I think, I'm not sure if they knew exactly what they got when they drafted him and brought him along, but Matthew Dumba is going to be a sensational defenseman for the Wild for many years. I love watching him play. He's a bit of a gambler sometimes, but you know what? I'll take that for what he brings to the team.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, he's the pulse of the Minnesota sports scene in terms of fandom. Matt Dumba is the most polarizing athlete in the state. I mean, because at least hockey-wise, because he's someone who there's so many people who, like you said, just look at that potential and just gaw over it. And then there's other people who can't overlook the fact that he'll pinch in sometimes and allow a goal. But we talked to Coach Bruce Boudreau about that earlier this year. How do you balance that when you have someone who's so dynamic like Matt Dumba? And he goes, and he basically said, you know, we'll take the good and the bad, because we know if we tell him not to play like he knows how to play, like his instincts tell him how to play, then he's just not going to be the same type. The Wild know that they're going to have to take some of the bad when he gambles up a little too much and maybe there's an odd man rush the other way. But the things he can do with the puck, he's so quick through the neutral zone, and obviously he has that absolute bomb from the point that if he's online, it's going to be hard for anyone to stop that shot. And that's such a dynamic part of his game. And you're starting to see him harness that offensive ability. He can just lock down defensively a little more. I mean, like you said, he's already on his way to being a sensational player in this league, but he can get even that much better. So the Wild really wanted to keep him this offseason. Chuck Fletcher and his staff did everything they could to not lose that dump at the expansion. And you're starting to see why.
Yeah, absolutely. I just really like watching him play. You're right. Every now and again, you cough one up, but I think he gives you more than you sacrifice. Dane Mizutani covering Minnesota Wild for the Pioneer Press. At Dane Mizutani is how you follow him on. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, thanks. Anytime.
Dane Mizutani with the Minnesota Wild, or the Pioneer Press covering the Minnesota Wild. Wild get back in action on Tuesday after the All-Star break. They will be in Columbus to take on Blue Jackets. Later on in the program, Allison Lucan will join us. She covers the Blue Jackets for The Athletic. Stephen Wino coming up, covers the National Hockey League for the Associated Press. Jesse Granger with the latest on the Vegas Golden Knights, and Sean McAdoo from Sportsnet, Vice Sports, et al. And we'll talk a little NHL. We'll talk a little bit of Olympics. Sean's done a nice piece that is in the New York Times about the Olympics coming up in a few weeks. We'll talk about that and a few other things all coming up. Hockey Unfiltered with Todd Lewis back after the break.
The best way to get set for the busy Saturday night of hockey is with Hockey Primetime. Beginning at 5 p.m. Eastern, host Connor McKenna whips you around the league for the latest stories and info leading up to the early game start. Plus, he'll give his own spin on the biggest stories in the National Hockey League. Hockey Primetime with Connor McKenna. Sometimes serious, sometimes a little goofy, but always interesting. Listen live at HockeyPrimetime.com, 5 p.m. Eastern every Saturday. Creativity and innovation are the hallmarks of Nova product design. Whether it's mechanical or industrial, cutting-edge technology and a commitment to excellence make Nova product design the company to choose. Prototypes and beta units are a Nova product design specialty. Striving for revolutionary new ideas and methods keep Nova product design at the forefront of innovation. Visit NovaProductDesign.com and learn more. Hockey Unfiltered with Todd Lewis sends you to the biggest events at the best prices. This year, we partnered with Seat Giant to give you special deals on tickets to NHL games, concerts, or other events. Simply go to SeatGiant.com, find the tickets you want, you check out, use the promo code Todd for a special discount. That's promo code T-O-D-D for a special discount. Start saving with SeatGiant.com on your next purchase. Being on the World Wide Web is great. Being found is the tricky part. 1-844-SEO-LEAD. Search engine optimization is the only way your business can get a leg up on the competition. 1-844-SEO-LEAD. For the necessary tools to make your business stand out in a crowded marketplace, 1-844-SEO-LEAD. Now it's even easier to nominate your dog as the Hockey Unfiltered Dog of the Day. We do it every Saturday. Send us a photo on Twitter or now on Instagram with the hashtag HUDogOfTheDay. We choose a winner every Saturday. That simple. Now on Instagram or Twitter, send us the photo using the hashtag HUDogOfTheDay and your dog could be the one added to our gallery on the website and Facebook page. It's the Hockey Unfiltered Dog of the Day every Saturday.
Welcome back. It's Hockey Unfiltered with Todd Lewis, the Saturday edition. We're live from NHL All-Star Weekend in Tampa. Yes, the All-Star Weekend is going on. The skills competition coming up on Saturday. And then, of course, Sunday afternoon, 3-on-3 tournament. Best from the West, best from the East will face off for outstanding cash and prizes. Actually, I had a really good discussion last night with John Leahy from NBC Sports, who had a wild suggestion about what to give the winners of the NHL All-Star. It's pretty outrageous. It'll never happen, but it's kind of an interesting suggestion. So I'm interested to see if that ever happens. We'll talk about it. Sean's going to join us coming up on the program tomorrow as we continue with the latest from Tampa. It's been a super busy weekend. Festival and the parade and all the rest of it. It is very busy here in Tampa. One of our favorites back to visit with us now. We'll take it up to the top of the hour. We're in a really interesting piece about the Olympics that are coming up in the New York Times. We'll tweet out the link. I want to ask him about that in a second, but also a bunch of other things around the National Hockey League. You can check him out on Sportsnet, Vice Sports, and follow him on at Down Goes Brown. Sean Mackin joins us. Sean, first of all, the important question. Can you define goal differences, please? Sean, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yeah, you know what? I'm here at the rink, and I thought I had my bars, but apparently not. So I just made a run outside. So if you hear my teeth chattering, that's what's up.
Not a worry, my man. Just
so
asking.
I missed your question.
It was a real simple one. Can you just tell us what goaltender interference is, please?
Oh my gosh, it's I was hoping you'd give me something a little easier, like some unsolvable math theorem. Nobody has any idea. The answer, as far as any of us can tell, is that if there is anyone anywhere near a goaltender, then you call down for a review, and then we flip a coin and we see. I don't think any of us can figure it out, and I really do hope that the league takes a look at this, and not in the off season or down the road, but right now, or at the very least when the GMs are together in a few weeks, because when you've got Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid kind of openly making fun of your rules on the ice, you've got an issue.
Okay. So what do you suspect is a step in the right direction? I don't know that you ever solve the problem. Into more in this later, but
no,
is there a step that you would like to see taken?
Yeah, I mean, what I would like to see with both the reviews, because I mean, this time last week it was the offside that we were all scratching our heads over. I would like to see it made clear that look, with when it comes to these reviews, we are looking to catch obvious misses. We are looking to catch, you know, we accept. And we understand that sometimes as an official, you're blocked out. Sometimes you don't have the right view. Sometimes you just miss a call. We've got the technology. Let's see if it's obvious. Then, yeah, let's use the technology and overturn it. But if it's not clear, if it feels like a coin flip, let's let the call on the ice stand. And especially when it comes to goals, let's err on the side of letting a goal stand instead of taking one off the board. And, you know, I feel like that's almost as simple as just changing the wording of the rule. Make it more like the NFL, where we are always told there has to be conclusive evidence or else the call on the field stands. The NHL doesn't really do that. The NHL basically says that it's a review. We're going to take a look and we're going to try to figure out as best we can. You know, I don't know that you need to artificially enforce that by having shorter review times or only giving them a certain number of angles to look at. I would just make it really clear to the officials, what we're looking for here is you take a look. If it's obvious, then change the call. If not, let it stand and we play on.
That's a suggestion. Certainly that's worthy of debate, and I'm with you. I hope that this is looked at and it is addressed, because I think there are that need to be done. Another thing I wanted to ask you about this year, this is significant disappointment in Canada. With the season that they had in Edmonton, the season that they have had, and with Montreal, that the season that they have had, and the fan bases that are feeling it. But I think it's really, I think it's really disappointing for the league as a whole that these three teams have taken such giant steps backwards here.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were maybe a little bit spoiled up here last year with so many teams making the playoffs and so many teams having success. We've really seen that, you know, that crash back to earth. And, you know, it was predictable to some extent when you looked at really all three of those teams. The Ottawa Senators were a team that I think most people agree they caught lightning in a bottle a little bit during the playoffs last year. I saw an awful lot of predictions where they were not picked to even make the playoffs this year, but nobody had them in the race for last place overall. Same thing with Montreal. You know, a lot of people felt like, hey, this is a team that maybe isn't as good as they've shown in the standings, but nobody had them missing the playoffs by double digits. And then you look at the Oilers, who I picked to win the Western Conference and play for the Stanley Cup. You know, we all had our concerns over the forward scoring depth. We all had, you know, we were wondering if some of these trades they were making were going to bite them. But I don't think anybody saw this. And, certainly nobody saw the problems with special teams and the goaltending and everything that's hit them. I don't think they're this bad. I think this is one of those seasons where everything that can go wrong is. But it's certainly disappointing and probably more than disappointing, because that really feels right now like a situation where a lot of people are going to lose their jobs in that organization, and there's going to be a bit of a fresh start.
Well, it's going to be interesting to touch and see how that plays out. And before we get out of time here, I want to ask you about a piece that I stumbled on this morning from the New York Times, that you talk about the Olympics coming up in a couple of weeks. I thought you captured
the approach early, that it's not going to be Sidney Crosby, it's not going to be NHL players, but there are good ways that are going to be being played out on the Olympic stage. I don't know if you have another 1980 for Team A, but there's going to be interesting stories. It's going to be worthwhile watching the tournament. It's not going to be those big names from the NHL, but I think it's worthwhile to watch that hockey.
Yeah, that's about where I wound up because, you know, like a lot of fans, I was very disappointed when the NHL made the decision not to go. And look, there's no point trying to sugarcoat anything. This will not be a best-on-best tournament. This will not be anything like the Olympics have been for the last 20 years where, you know, you had the very best playing on the biggest stage for the highest stakes, and it was fantastic. And it's not going to be that. It's not going to be remotely close. But what it will be is some real interesting individual stories, certainly, and some teams that are made up of players who probably never expected to have this opportunity. Most of them have never been before, will never go again. And they're not going to go and play for 2 weeks and then go and jump right back into a NHL playoff race. For a lot of these guys, this is it. These are the biggest games they will ever play in their entire lives. And that makes it interesting in its own way. And it's going to be, I think fun to watch and fun to follow along with some of these guys and sort of see where their path takes them, even though in terms of from a pure hockey quality point of view, it's not going to be anywhere close to what we're used to.
Oh, I think the games will be good. I think they'll be interesting and captivating. I suspect we find after 2 weeks of watching the Olympics and Olympic hockey that we see this and think, oh yeah, this is kind of the Olympics used to be and what the Olympics are really all about in the sense that the NHL, we're finding the true Olympic games.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we remember, at least those of us who've been around long enough, we remember what those Olympics used to be like. And you know they created a lot of fun moments in their own rights, and a lot of names that were brought to the surface that we otherwise would never have heard about. And look, I know there's a lot of people who feel like this is what the Olympics should be. It shouldn't be a bunch of millionaires playing in games that they care about and that they want to win, but that might not even be the most important games they play that year, let alone in their lives. That it should be guys who are out there having their one and only one shot at winning an Olympic medal. And you know we can debate that, we can go back and forth on whether the pros should be involved or not, but the reality is that decision got made for us by Gary Bettman and friends, and I think the rest of us are left to enjoy what we do have in the best way that we can.
I agree. Sean McIndoe down on Twitter, check him out on Sports. Appreciate the time and the hope we can do this again soon. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks.
All right, I can do Sportsnet and Vice Sports. We'll tweet out the link to that. It's a piece in the New York Times. I think it's really interesting about the approach to the Olympics. You should be looking at it. I think the Olympic game enjoyable experience in terms of what the hockey tournament is. Hockey Unfiltered at Todd Lewis Sports. First hour jammed up. We are super busy with guests, and we have a few more thoughts coming up on goal interference, because that's, you know, been kind of a big thing the last few days. Live from NHL All-Star Weekend, the Hockey Unfiltered with Todd Lewis back after the break.
Hockey Unfiltered with Todd Lewis sends you to the biggest events at the best prices. This year, we've partnered with SeatGiant to give you special deals on tickets to NHL games, concerts, or other events. Simply go to SeatGiant.com, find the tickets you want. When you check out, use the promo code TODD for a special discount. That's promo code TODD for a special discount. Start saving with SeatGiant.com on your next purchase. Get your business started getting more leads. 1-844-SEO-LEAD. The number to call if you want more online leads for your business is 1-844-SEO-LEAD. Search engine optimization can be the difference between success and failure. It's no coincidence which businesses are listed first in Google searches. Call 1-844-SEO-LEAD. Now it's even easier to nominate your dog as the Hockey Unfiltered Dog of the Day. We do it every Saturday. Send us a photo on Twitter or now on Instagram with the hashtag HUDogOfTheDay. We choose a winner every Saturday. That simple. Now on Instagram or Twitter, send us the photo using the hashtag HUDogOfTheDay, and your dog could be the one added to our gallery on the website and Facebook page. It's the Hockey Unfiltered Dog of the Day every Saturday. Cutting edge design for manufacturing. Nova product design. Industrial design. Mechanical engineering and design. Nova product design provides experienced design for parts and assemblies. Manufacturing, assembly, and serviceability. From plastic parts to sheet metal forming, mold and tool design, injection molding, and more. Nova product design. Visit NovaProductDesign.com to learn more. So you had to get groceries, take your daughter to dance class, and a pipe burst in the kitchen. You missed Hockey Unfiltered with Todd Lewis. No problem. All of our shows are available as a podcast right after the show airs, so you can listen when life gets in the way of hearing us live. Subscribe through iTunes and get alerts as soon as the podcast is available, or go to our website, HockeyUnfiltered.com, and listen. Plus, check out the other cool stuff. The Hockey Unfiltered with Todd Lewis podcast. Subscribe now through iTunes.
This is Hockey Unfiltered with Todd Lewis.
Hour number two of the program from Tampa Bay, live from NHL All-Star Weekend. Hawks like taking over the city. It's taking over the town. Absolutely, Gasparilla Pirate Festival and the parade happening. Oh, yes, the city has embraced it. It's kind of cool how they combine the two celebrations. The annual festival Tampa. Couple of cocktails, couple of eye patches, some beans tossed around. It's a good time for everyone. Our other program, Stephen Wino, who covers the National Hockey League for the Associated Press, will join us momentarily. Also coming up, Allison Luke, covering the Columbus Blue Jackets for the Athletic Cleveland, will be here. And Jesse Granger, who is all over the Vegas Golden Knights for the Las Vegas Sun with the latest on Vegas Night Hour. And a lot of stories get into the NHL skills competition goes this evening. Of course, the 3-on-3 tournament tomorrow. NHL All-Star Weekend continues. Joining us to talk a little All-Star, to talk a little goaltender interference and whatever else we can get into just past the midway point of the season, covering the National Hockey League for the Associated Press, Steve, I want to ask you this. Can you tell me goaltender interference is?
No, I can't. Connor McDavid can't. I'm not sure the NHL can at this point. It's one of the issues that it's the reason why they didn't put goaltender interference review in for so many years. It's subjective. Sure, there is a black and white rule book that explains for referees, for linesmen, for goaltenders, for players, for coaches, and general managers that there was a reasonable hesitation putting this in to begin with. And I don't know what the solution is unless you come up with an inside-the-crease, outside-the-crease rule to mitigate some of the controversy and some of the gray area that's going on with this right now.
The other thing gets me about this is a lot of people are pointing at Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid, as you said, and I that showing a little personality that we've gotten of this has been a good thing, but they're all also getting heat from. And I think that's
sure, and they're getting heat for it because you're being called not to have personality in this sport. And Sweden, you're grown up to say that the name, that the logo on the front matters more than the name on the back. But I don't mind these guys saying these things. I don't mind the Austin Matthews kind of calling out if it's a goaltender interference because you want to see more personality out of these guys, and that's one of the things we always clamor for. And P.K. Subban starts making jokes during Cup Final last year. Everyone says he's showing too much personality. I don't think it's a bad thing.
No, and this weekend is perhaps the best opportunity that we'll get to having a little bit of personality. The skills competition tonight, everybody kind of relaxes. Everybody kind of takes it easy. Sure, they're going to play. They want to do their best. But I don't think they're going to be okay. They happen to lose the relay challenge to the other team. This is an event that gets
gets looked upon by some as, why are we doing this? But this is a really important event for the NHL, and it's a great opportunity for the league also.
It is, and it's fun. Back when the All-Star game wasn't a 3-on-3 tournament, I would think that the skills competition, at least to me, was the high point of the weekend. You got to see kind of skills of guys that you see in bits and pieces and shifts during games. But the hardest shot and the fast, very tangible skills that you're like, yeah, this, I mean, we know this McKinnon's fast. How fast is he? Like, is he the fastest guy, fastest skater among all these guys? How fast can the Daniel Chara shoot the puck? And the 3-on-3 has added a little bit more fun to the Sunday of the week. But we've seen some personality here. We saw P.K. Subban dressing up like Jaromir Jagr a couple of years ago. We saw Alex Ovechkin with the Canadian flags in his hat several years ago in Montreal. There's some personality that comes out of these guys on All-Star Weekend, and particularly the skills competition. We don't get to see a lot of the rest of the year.
No, unfortunately, that event isn't part of the skills competition anymore, which I find frustrating. But that's another thing. I think the All-Star event, it's also because it's important, like the Winter Classic or much event when you are in the city and you attend versus trying to watch on television.
Yeah, it is, and bringing an event like this to Tampa is important just to showcase just how much growth you've had in the hockey market at Tampa, signing there. Jeff Vinnick kind of essentially might be the best owner in sports right now. And cool for fans there to be able to see these guys up close, whether it's at these concerts like last night where Steven Stamkos and P.K. Subban came out, or whether it's actually at these events or autograph signings or community events. You lose a little bit of it on TV. It's fun to see it in person, but it also is an event that it is worth tuning into.
Yeah, I would agree. Stephen Wino covers the National Hockey League for the Associated Press. At S. Wino is how you follow him on Twitter. I want to shift over and talk about a couple of things in the NHL. One of the teams that you follow closely, the Washington Capitals, find themselves on top of the Metro Division. And I think that surprises a lot of people. I think everybody was thinking, oh, maybe it's Columbus this year. Washington, maybe without the attention and pressure, maybe they're just playing their game this season.
Yeah, and a little bit of that, and it's just, things have worked out. I mean, Alex Ovechkin has put more of an emphasis into goal scoring this year and being better at 5-on-5. I think the past couple of years with the strength of teams the Capitals had, they kind of wanted to ease him back, play him a little bit less, kind of get him ready for the playoffs, and didn't need him to score as much. And now that he's kind of geared up to score, I think the switchback to CCM helped him a lot. And him being on pace for 50 goals, and Braden Holtby being playing at maybe not a Vezina Trophy winning level, but certainly a Vezina caliber level again this year, has helped mitigate a lot of the loss of Justin Williams, Colin Paulson, and Marcus Johansson, Nate Schmidt. You're seeing a lot of these guys have some impact elsewhere, but the players who stepped in their places, whether it's Jacob Vrana into the lineup, Tom Wilson up the lineup, guys like Christian Juice and Madison Bowie on defense have filled in well. And I don't know whether to say the Capitals are Stanley Cup contenders again or Stanley Cup favorites, certainly not in a conference with the Tampa Bay Lightning. But when you have top-end talent like Ovechkin and Backstrom and Holtby, and we'll see how bad this injury to Denis Kuznetsov is, this is a team that can do some damage and certainly can win the Metropolitan Division a third year in a row.
I mean, telling Stanley Cup contenders is the worst thing that could happen to them because they're just kind of going through their drill right now. The other thing that brings to me and watching how it plays out in the final third of the year, it looked like New Jersey off to the great start. They were going to be in solid. They slipped back. Philadelphia had the big long skid. Didn't think they had a chance. Those are the two wild card teams now, and both the New York teams, the Rangers and the Islanders, on the outside. I'm really anxious to see how this shakes out before the season's done.
Me too, and interested to see what shakes out over the next month too, because as Larry Brooks and New York Post reported yesterday, the Rangers are looking to sell, have a fire sale at the trade deadline, and essentially give up on the season to kind of reset for the future. Something the San Jose Sharks in the offseason a few years ago, not entirely go into a rebuild, but to try to build some assets to be a real Stanley Cup contender in a couple of years. And we don't know what's going to happen with John Tavares in the future. So we don't know what's going to happen with these New York teams. And the way the Flyers and Devils are playing, they could be the best team in hockey or the worst team in hockey on any given night. And you do have to give credit to John Hines and Dave Hackstall for getting these teams into the race, whether it was John Hines early with a lot of changes and young from after a good start, really going into that slump there and a long losing streak. They're Claude Giroux, Sean Couturier, Jacob Voracek, essentially all having career seasons. But it's hard to count on anyone in the Metropolitan Division right now. We haven't even talked about Carolina. It's close out of a playoff spot. Metropolitan Division is insane right now.
And this is like the Central Division in the West Conference. They're shifting and moving back and forth, and which makes it great for everyone as they follow. On the Atlantic, you talk about Tampa as maybe being the best team in hockey, but Bruins are making a case too with 18 straight games with a point, 14-0-4.
Yeah, the Bruins are legit contenders in the Atlantic Division, and I think we're all kind of salivating over the possibility of a Bruins Maple Leafs first round matchup, which unless Tampa falls, is all but set at this point. Figuring five teams in the Metro are going to get in, but Boston right now, when they've got goaltending and you've got Patrice Bergeron, it depends how long Charlie McAvoy is out, how much that affects a very young D4. But Zdeno Chara is playing very well. The penalty kill, kind of plays your spectrum in his upper 30s, beyond maybe, certainly not what he was in his 20s, but still a good player at that point. And to see an older Bruins team with guys mixed in like Pastrnak facing a young Austin Matthews and Elise, that'd be a lot of fun come April.
Well, it would immediately draw the comparison later. Ross, Toronto, and Boston in the first round looked like Toronto was going to win, but you would immediately rekindle that rivalry to a new level again.
Yeah, and it's a fun rivalry too. Everybody talks about Leafs and Canadians, but Leafs and Bruins, because of that playoff series, has mattered more over the years, just given how dramatic that blowing a 4-1 lead was for Toronto in that Game 7. That even though there are no players back, so maybe Leo Komarov was on that team, but not a whole lot of connections from the Toronto team. But certainly the people will be reminding the Leafs and people will be reminding the Bruins of what happened back then.
Before I should ask you about the Brad Hand suspension for the Boston Bruins. Five games for the flying elbow on Marcus Johansson of the New Jersey Devils. He is in Tampa. He participated in the All-Star week. That's another area that has a lot of people scratching their heads. Are you surprised at the five? Too much? Too little? I think the number is almost irrelevant at this point with Marchand. He's going to get suspended a few times in his career, and this one just happens to be five games.
I think it matters because it's going to set a precedent for future incidents like that and for future incidents in his career, because we know what kind of player Brad Marchand is, and five games seemed about right. I'm okay with him taking part in the All-Star weekend stuff. I remember when Alex Ovechkin several years ago was suspended and refused to take part in All-Star Weekend, and that became a bigger story of him not being there and choosing not to be there because he was suspended. Brad Marchand's a player that the Bruins love to have. The NHL wants players to play on the edge. A five-game suspension sends a little bit of a message to kind of rein that in. Critics certainly say it's not enough of a message because Brad Marchand's going to continue playing like that. The thing is, the Bruins want him to play with some sort of edge, with some sort of physical play, because he's not really a big guy. But it's saying you cannot allow hits like that. There are certain hockey plays, or non-hockey plays, excuse me, that George Parrish wants to take out of the game. And certainly the elbow on Johansson from Brad Marchand was one of those plays.
Covering the National Hockey League for the Associated Press, follow him on Twitter Steven, thanks for the time today. Always enjoyed it, and hopefully we'll be good again.
Thanks,
Doug. Sorry, it's just doing business. That's just the cost of doing business. They've